Jeff Phelps here, Andy Baskin, 216-474-0092 is the number to join us. A lot of different aspects of this game, Andy, that we're going to get into here. And Chris Fedor is going to join us from the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Quinn Buckner, analyst for the Pacers, former NBA head coach, a longtime NBA player. Quinn's going to join us later on in the show as well. I thought Indiana came out great. They looked really good. They had great spacing. They had great ball movement. They had great body movement. They put up 36 first quarter points. And the talk that you always hear in the NBA from so many teams, and I've always thought, well, we're a defense first team. No, you're really not.
No, you're not.
You're really not.
I agree with that.
The Cavs are an offense first team, and they can say defense first all they want. Their offense this year is what made them a much better team.
Sure.
But they allowed 36 points, yeah, and they scored only 25. So they're down, and they're chasing their tail, Andy. And the one thing I thought that was really indicative, I thought Indiana just kicked the you-know-what out of them in the first half. And the Cavs are down by only 6 at halftime. And I thought this is a great chance for the Cavs because they looked bad in the first half, yet they were down only 6 at halftime.
Yeah, that bucket at the break, though, didn't help any. I think we had said this last week, or at least I had said this last week, Jeff, I think this series is going to be whoever gets 120 first wins. And that is exactly the way it played out when it was all said and done, yeah, even with just some, you know, ticky-tack stuff at the end of the game where you had a couple free throws. And it's almost like the Cavs ran out of gas, too, with the last, like, in the final 2.5 minutes. I mean, they worked hard to get back in it. There was, like, this four-point wall that they kept running up to and then falling back and then getting within four and then falling back. And then finally, when they broke through and the place was going crazy yesterday, I thought the fans were outstanding. You could just see that kind of bleeding through the TV, that they just, like, they kind of ran out of gas the way you see teams all the time. I don't remember this happening very often during the regular season where they just couldn't cross the finish line. And last night, they couldn't cross the finish line on the comeback. And I just thought Indiana played tougher than we did last night, especially early on. I thought they out-physicaled us. They played playoff basketball. Yeah, there were a couple, like, there were some ticky-tack fouls in that game last night that I was like, really, you're going to call that or you're not going to call that? So, but I'm not going to sit here and blame the officials. Cavs lost fair and square, 121-112.
One thing that I had talked about going into this thing, and I thought, I hope this doesn't happen. And I thought it clearly happened, and I thought, how'd you let that happen? 30 shots for Donovan Mitchell, 20 for Ty Jerome. And so that's 50 shots for two guards, whether it's Darius Garland or Ty Jerome, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My thought was, do not let the guards take shots like crazy.
Right.
And why? Because that's not how you played this year. How'd you play this year? By sharing the basketball, sharing the scoring, and getting everybody involved. And instead, it became a game where Donovan's taking 30 shots, and here comes Ty Jerome off the bench taking 20 shots. And I love Donovan Mitchell. I love what Ty Jerome did this year. You don't need them taking 50 shots and everybody else taking 48 shots, especially, Andy, when the Pacers had no answer for Evan Mobley. Evan Mobley took only 13 shots yesterday.
And
he made 9 of
good.
Them. They couldn't stop him.
No, they couldn't.
And he scored 20 points on 13 shots. And Jared Allen took only 7 shots. He made 6 of them. Now, I don't expect the Cavaliers to play as poorly as they did moving forward, especially shooting the basketball. I just don't expect that. But I just a little math all the way around. And I thought this was interesting. The Cavaliers had 4 players playing the game who were 6'8" or bigger. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They shot 63% from the field. That includes Dean Wade going 0 for 2.
Oh, I like the way you broke this down.
Guys who were smaller than 6'8" for the Cavs were 26 of 68 for 38%. Indiana's not a really tall team. They have Miles Turner. And then they have of four guys who start who are between 6'4 and 6'8. Well, those guys killed you. No Indiana Pacer took more than 15 shots in the game. Why? Because they moved the ball beautifully.
What was the measurement? Was 6'5 plus? Is that what you
Anybody
said?
6'8 or taller.
6'8
they
or
were,
taller.
Cavs were 19 of 30 for 63%.
And of those 19, Ty Jerome had what, 8?
No, he's no, Ty's shorter than 6'8.
Oh, you're saying if you were over. Okay.
The big guys shot the ball well for the Cavs.
All right, now
the
I get
The little guys
saying.
Shot the ball poorly for the Cavs.
Okay.
The little guys were 38%. The bigger guys, and there are only four of them.
Right.
DeAndre Hunter, Dean Wade, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, were 63%. But they took only 30 shots, and the other guys took 68 shots.
Now I get what you're saying. Okay.
It's real clear to me, and I've said it for too many years already, and he's not even been in the league that long. Get Evan Mobley the ball. Get him involved. You don't – and Donovan Mitchell is great. He doesn't need to take 30 shots. Now, he did a great job getting to the basket. He really did. He was great driving to the basket. But he still was one of 11 on threes. Yeah. All right, well, quit jacking up threes and pass the ball. And he quit jacking up threes, you know, as the game went on. But move the ball. Get the big guy involved. They don't have an answer for him. I mean, he and Jared Allen were terrific. And you didn't get him the ball.
Offensively.
Combined, they took 20 shots. Combined, Evan Mobley and Jared Allen took as many shots as Ty Jerome. Why?
I don't know. I thought the same thing yesterday, especially when they couldn't get the ball to Evan enough. And I'm like, why are we just coming into the forecourt and then just here we go. Here comes another missed three. Like Isaac Okoro, I don't know why they even. How many 3-point shots he have yesterday? Two. We took two, and you knew as soon as it left his hand. It
Indiana's going to say, "Please,
oh,
please."
They
shoot that.
And they leave him wide open.
Well, absolutely.
I don't. Maybe he's got too much time to think.
Why do they leave him open?
Because they know he's probably not going to hit the
three.
They
want him taking that shot.
Yeah, they came out cold on three. There was just a lot of things that can be fixed. So I'm trying to be optimistic about the game,
and they will be.
Yeah. We hope they will be.
You want me to predict who's going to win the series?
Sure.
Cavs in 6 or 7.
We'll get it fixed.
Wait a minute. That's the wrong guy.
Nah, it doesn't matter. Same philosophy.
We'll get it fixed.
Did he play some basketball?
Same theory.
We'll watch the tape.
Jeff's in University Heights. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, not afternoon. Good morning, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
So here's my take on this. So first of all, in the first half professionally, the Cavs seemed lethargic on the defensive end, and what was happening is that Indiana, no pun intended, set the pace. By even on the Cavs' makes, they were taking the ball out the hoop and zipping the ball right down the floor. The Cavs have to make it a half-court game, which is no revelation to anyone. We knew that going into the series. Can the Cavs play five out? Yes. Should they make that their game plan? No, you don't want to play to the other team's strength. Jeff, you stole my thunder already about the lack of touches for Evan Mobley, especially in the fourth quarter. He only got one shot in the whole fourth quarter. That's unacceptable. And, you know, thirdly, what you got to do is slow them down. Maybe you put pressure on them to bring the ball up the floor, but you've got to slow that offense. You can't let them turn it into a running game, because if so, you'll get run out the gym. Now, all that said, you know, if the Cavs would have shot their normal percentage from three-point land, they still would have won the game, but they didn't, and they didn't. So, but you've got to get more touches for Mobley. You've got to make them play half court. Otherwise, everyone here in Cleveland is going to have visions of Mikal Petras, Hedo Turkoglu, and Rafer Skip to my Lou Alston dancing in our heads.
Scaring me.
The repeat of 2009 all over again.
Scaring me, Jeff.
Yeah, me too. I'm scaring me.
Jeff's talking about the Orlando series where the Cavs got knocked out.
Yeah.
Yep. Kevin's in Cleveland. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey, Kevin.
Best damn radio show in the land.
Thank you, Kevin.
Real simple.
Dot the I, my friend.
You can't shoot 29% for threes and win. Indiana played their best they're going to play. The Cavs going to win this in six, and they won four straight. So you're not going to win 15 games. So we're going to go on another winning streak now. Relax, Jeff. This is going to be okay. This is going to be okay. I'm going to run, fellas. I'm the best damn radio show in the land. Have
Thank
a good
you.
Day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Put him in the Hall of Fame in Inkley.
If I think the Cavs are going to win the series. But you can't. You got to slow down Indiana's offense a little bit. I thought Indiana did a great job of getting up and down the floor. And I warned everybody about Nesmith and Nembhard. It's like those guys can play, and they and they can play some defense. And Haliburton is just, man, I love watching that guy play. You know, he's a tall guy who plays point guard. Love that, and he distributes the ball really well. I think he's outstanding, and I think the Cavs won't shoot that poorly again on threes. And I'd be stunned if Indiana shoots the ball that well again. That said, do I think Indiana wins at least one more game in this series? Absolutely.
Especially at home.
Do I think Indiana could win the series? Yeah, I do.
I do, too, after watching this series. I don't think there's any question.
But if I had to bet your money on it, Andy, I'd bet on the Cavs to win the series.
That's a good thing. I don't have a lot of money. So we're good.
Number to join us is 216-474-0092. Who wasn't there yesterday? And you could make the argument that Evan Mobley wasn't there in the game plan. Now, that's tough to say for a guy who had a double-double. But it was so clear to me, they don't have an answer for this guy. And he was on. And he didn't get the ball enough, and neither did Jared Allen, in my estimation. We're going to talk to Chris Fedor. We're going to talk to Quinn Buckner from the Pacers television side. And we're going to talk to Scott Petrak coming up in about 17 minutes. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan. Your call is coming up next. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner's Andy Baskin. Cavaliers losing to the Pacers last night. And allowed 121 points, put up 112. And you know, we laid out last week, Cavs do a lot of things really well offensively. But the Pacers, Andy, weren't far behind in all of those offensive categories.
No, it was virtually tied on everything, if you looked at any category.
And that's why, okay, you still got to play well against an Indiana team that was playoff tested last year. They beat Milwaukee in the first round. They beat New York in the second round. They got swept by Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. And they just took care of Milwaukee in the first round here. They come to Cleveland and get the win. And though Indy came out great, Andy, I think there are two things that are telling. Indy had a great start, mm-hmm. and yet the Cavs were down by only six at halftime. I thought that was big on the part of the Cavs. But this was tough because the Cavs came back and took the lead in the second half of this game. And you kind of had the thought, okay, Cavs are back here. Now they're going to get their game, and now they go. Except for one thing. Cavs had a 20-5 run, I believe it was, a 20-4 run in the third quarter, and they took the lead and then couldn't pull away. And Indiana came back, and Indy was really good down the stretch.
Yeah, they got hot.
Yeah, they took the lead, and they closed out the game with a 20-10 run. That's not very Cavalier-like.
Mm-mm.
We haven't seen a lot of that this year. So the fact that the Cavs withstood the great Indiana start, came back and took the lead, but then couldn't hang on and couldn't finish it off. If I'm Indiana, that's what I'm taking out of this game more than anything. Not necessarily the great start, the great finish. Good for the Pacers.
Yeah, especially when you go back and look at their game that got them there, too. You know, they had an unbelievable ending to get
great
to this series.
Great comeback against Milwaukee.
So, so they continue to do what they've been doing. If I'm Indiana, I'm feeling good. I've already come to Cleveland and did what I needed to do. And
now with a chance to really imagine.
Big trouble for the Cavs.
Kevin's in beautiful Cuyahoga Falls. Hi, Kev.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Couldn't be fine.
Hey.
Yeah, I know. Hey, real quick on my Cavs pick, Andy, real quick. I know you're talking about your cable and stuff. I went to fiber. You know, when you're watching the game and a buddy will text you and say, hey, did you see that play? And you're like, what the heck's he talking about?
Yeah.
And then like a minute later, it comes on your screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I'm the guy texting everybody going, oh, my God, did you see that? Fiber's the way to go, my friend. You'll never go back.
I got to get in my neighbor. My neighborhood's a little antiquated, so we got to get it up and going.
I can tell you ESPN's website,
Yeah.
just like in following along,
Yeah.
Was about 6 points ahead of the TNT telecast.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
I had to quit looking at the website because it was outrageously ahead of the TNT telecast.
There was one point where I looked, I went to go look at the box score and I went
at
to
least ESPN. On my cable.
Well, no, it was the same on my app too, because I went to ESPN's app to go look and there was like, I don't know, on the TV, there was like, I don't know, 50 seconds to go, I think, in the quarter. And then I looked and it was like, there was only 20 seconds to go in the quarter. And I'm like, oh, this is, something's off here. So,
well, I can tell you, I stream everything and my delay wasn't that much. So again, I fiber everything and stream everything. So
there you go. Little, good advice, Kevin.
What do you think of the game?
Well, I tell you what, Jeff, I'm not going to disagree with anything you said. I think your analysis was on point, but let me just throw something at you. You know, I'm the numbers guy. I love numbers, but let's just throw this. First of all, the Pacers will never again, the rest of this playoff, shoot 53% from the three-point line. I don't ever see that happening again. And they're sure as heck not going to shoot 94% from the free throw line. I mean, that has never happened ever the season for them. And I don't, I mean, they had a miracle shooting day. Good for them. Every team gets one every now and then. But let me just put some comfort to our Cavs.
The only thing I would say about that, Kevin, is this. Yeah. And I don't disagree with you on that. I don't think they'll shoot that well again. They move the ball so well. The Cavs couldn't keep up with them, and they had unbelievably great looks for most of the game.
I'm not going to disagree with that. Actually, my boys and I were sitting there, and we actually looked at each other. At one point, as they were making those threes, we looked at it, are they ever going to miss one? I mean, it was like it seemed like they never missed at one point. So, but let me just say this. If they would have shot their normal season average of their normal, you know, 36%, that means they would have made 13, not 19. And then if they had shot their normal free throw percentage for the season, they would have only made 12 instead of 14. We win by 3 points. So just from that alone, if they just come down to their season average, we win that game. Now, I understand, you know, ifs and buts every day, it's Christmas every day. I get all that. I understand. But I'm just saying, you know, I'm not disagreeing with some of your analysis, Jeff, but I'm also saying they had some miracle shooting going on there that they've never had ever the whole season. So, I think the Cavs are going to, you know, bring it together. I think this, they had too much of a layoff. I think that's part of what happened here. I think they had too many days off, and they weren't ready for that pace where Indiana didn't miss a beat. I mean, they just went from game to game, and they were just keeping that hot pace. So I think it was a good wake-up call for the Cavs. I'm not saying it's good they lost at home. That's obviously crappy, especially when you're sitting there watching it. But I certainly hope this is a huge wake-up call for our Cavs, and we defend much better. And, Andy, I'm going to agree with your point. We should never in a million years have Allen hanging alone out on the three-point line against Halliburton. That is the
alone.
Worst defensive call for us.
Oh, man, I felt bad for him, you know?
Thanks, Kev.
I felt bad for him. I'm like, can somebody help him out? Who cares if somebody else is open? I mean, he was about to go shake and bake on him to take him through the hole, and you could see it coming, and you could see Allen was like trying to keep his feet moving and stay up with him, and it just wasn't happening. Somebody's got to support there.
Mark's in Cleveland. Hey, Mark, welcome.
Hey, fellas.
Hey,
first
Mark.
First of all, you're wrong again, Jeff.
Great.
Evan Mobley touched the ball more than anybody on the team yesterday. Now, if he's shooting that, that's on him. But he touched the ball 62 times compared to Donovan's 59. He played
the most
minutes.
And
yeah, he got to be more assertive.
Mark, that's coaching, too. Tell him to shoot the ball.
Okay. And then next, Evan or Jared Allen doesn't get to the free throw line. Both of them got to be more assertive in their game, man. That's the only way we're going to win. Evan got it. He's touching the ball, most touches in the paint, second most in the backcourt. He got to be more assertive. And then you can't be double helping out Jared Allen and Evan Mobley when they playing defense.
15 of 20 shots between those guys. Get them the ball and then tell them to shoot. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, but on D, I shouldn't be able to count to three and watch him just get torched by Halliburton. Someone's got to come over to support. I mean, I'm like, one, two, get him some help. That's like him screaming.
But you know what they were
doing? And no one answered back. What's wrong with that, Mark?
Why did they not do that?
No one didn't answer back through the TV. I'm very disappointed in TNT then. Yes,
not me though, man. Okay. But anyway, they got to stop doubling down when Jared Allen and Evan Mobley is playing defense because they're leaving the shooters wide open. You got defensive player of the year. Don't give him no help. Let him have his man, and you stay out there on your man. And I thought that's what killed us, wide open threes, because they was helping out on defense when they didn't shouldn't have to. Mm. But Evan has to be more assertive, man. He touched the ball more than Donovan Mitchell, and he's not shooting the ball. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you.
All right, Mark. Sorry. It comes down to coaching.
He's keeping score on you, by the way.
Comes down to game planning. Ray's in Chesterland.
Hey, Ray.
How you doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, I got just one thing. I don't know if anybody noticed that. The one thing that bothered me about that game, and it's really unlike them, did anybody notice them complaining about the no calls? In the meantime, they're taking the ball down at the other end and making easy shots instead of keep playing. Did you notice that a lot in that game? Like Ty Jerome was complaining, like he's standing there and
yes.
they're taking the ball down at the other end of the floor and shooting.
That was not the biggest issue in the game, but there were times, there's no question, Ray.
But they know they had to get back on D. You're right. There's no time to argue.
Indiana doesn't mess around. They get down on the floor.
No, they run. They're running. That's what they're doing. They played an exceptional game. I mean, but still, I thought they could have been it. But there's a lot of complaining that you got to wait till the whistle blows to complain. You know, you can't do that in the middle of the game.
That's Ray. That's a valid point. James is in South Euclid. James.
Yeah. So I was listening to an NBA radio a couple weeks ago, yeah. and Jim Jones was on.
Yeah.
And he said that Kenny Atkinson wants the Cavaliers to shoot the ball within the first 5 seconds of the clock. So what that tells me, that's what I can understand when I'm watching the Cavs, why the guards are always shooting the ball. So all these folks talking about Evan Mobley got touches. He has to get touches on the block, guys. It doesn't mean if he brings the ball up, he's not as effective. It's where the big man gets the ball. But if Garland doesn't play this next game, we have to start, or we have to give major minutes to, Porter, because you cannot have Ty Jerome and Mitchell on the floor for any extensive period of time. They're two shooting guards. That's all I got to say. You saw the game, Jeff. You just saw the game.
All right, James.
Ball touches Indiana hands four or five times before they make the shot. It only touches the Cavs players once or twice.
I think Ty Jerome is more of a point guard, but that's hard to argue when he put up 20 shots yesterday off the bench.
But not him and Mitchell at the same time, because they're both shooting guards. But
in theory, James, so is Darius Garland.
Yeah, that's true. But remember that, what Jim Trone said. So don't be puzzled why the big man ain't getting the ball. If they're telling them to shoot the ball within the first 5 seconds, Jim Trone said that. Either he's lying or he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Jim doesn't lie, and Jim knows what he's talking about. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. I love Jim. He's very knowledgeable.
Mm.
That said, you had a guy that they couldn't stop yesterday. You had two guys they couldn't stop. Jarrett and Evan were a combined 15 of 20 shooting the basketball. They took the same number of shots that Ty Jerome took. Should you shift things a little bit, Andy? Maybe.
Especially
when the other team doesn't have but one big guy to really go up against you.
Here's the hard part. I don't have trouble with Ty taking all those shots. I mean, does that bother you or no?
Yeah, it's too many shots. You had two guys take over half the shots. And in going into the series, I said, I sure hope they don't do what they've done in the past where the guards just start dominating the shots. Well, guards dominated the shots and the Cavs lost. Coincidence? You figure it out. We'll be taking more Cavalier calls later on in the show. We got a lot of Cavs stuff coming up. Chris Fedor is going to join us at 11:40 from the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Quinn Buckner from the Pacers TV crew. Former NBA player, of course, and NBA head coach, joining us at noon. Coming up next, our buddy Scott Petrak talking Browns with us from the Chronicle-Telegram. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.